see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Monday Bible study tonight for Watchmen's for Jesus program. It's 8 to 9, Monday through Friday. And welcome. My name is Thomas Gambo. I am the host of this program. And we have a broadcast. I do have a broadcast 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, for those just joining us. And, of course, the Bible study Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 p.m. Sometimes 9:15, 9:30, but usually not past 9:15. I try to keep it between 8 and 9, but you know how it goes. Sometimes you got to keep going. Tonight, tomorrow, next day, I want to cover the Day of the Lord and the tribulations, as I said I was going to cover last week. And this encompasses everything going on. I mean, everything today from that fraternity in Oklahoma that's chanting racist comments, it's all part of it. Did you know that? It's all connected. You know why? Because they're bringing the racial issue. The racial issue is taking lead. That's why Christian identity and racist agendas to create chaos to bring order. You got to have chaos so people will want order. This is how Satan works. It's how he does things. And he uses people, organizations. And they start off benevolent. They tickle the desires of the participants, motivated, lustful, angry. Revenge is mine, they say. Humans' revenge, if they really want to look at it, is absolutely nothing. And every time you get revenge, no matter what it is, don't matter, you will never be satisfied. The only way to be satisfied is completely cut yourself off from humanity, develop a psychotic attitude, completely cut yourself off from any human emotions whatsoever. That in itself has already caused a problem, but nevertheless. And then you do something bad to someone that did something bad to you. You got to convince yourself that that was the right thing to do and must believe it. And keep convincing yourself, while at the same time, up to a point, God's Holy Spirit will convict you, so you're continuously a convicted, conflicted individual. And then there is a time, at some point, and this is all God's business, not anybody else's, but God only knows, that He will cut you off from any possibility of repenting. He will, as the scriptures say, set you up with a reprobate mind, where He will cause you deception. He will let you be deceived, that you will not repent. You will not be allowed to come into heaven. That's in the scriptures. He will send you a spirit of delusion, that you would believe the lie and not the truth because you reject the truth. That's unforgivable sin. Therefore, He sits you with a reprobate mind. You'll have no chance of repenting. See, God's got it covered. He knows the heart. That's His business, not ours. Tonight we're going to cover 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11. It's quite involved. And we'll see how far we get tonight. And then we'll continue on to tribulations tomorrow. And family, everything in the broadcast is leading up to right now that I'm talking about tonight. It's all connected. You won't find, I promise you, you will not find one event, organization, movement that's not connected to Satan's agenda. Not one. Well, people don't realize. They don't understand this. God is a great revealer. Satan is a great deceiver. And what God uncovers, Satan tries to hide. Every time. It's always revealed. And funny enough, I didn't plan it this way, but it seems that what I talked about today earlier about how lies come unraveled, actually, well, that applies also. What I talked about in the broadcast, the first 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes. And, well, that's what I want to talk about tonight. So if you're taking notes and whatever, well, we're going to get started here in a second. I wanted to pull something up, but I had a quote that I like quotes because quotes, in a very short way, explain what's going on. And the quotes, a lot of times, are coming from their own mouths. The Illuminati, the Freemasons, and these guys. And I try to bring them up because hopefully they'll hear it and say, well, you know, maybe there's something to this. And start looking at what they're really involved in. And maybe if one or two just get out of there, man, and go back to your family. No more secrets. The secrets are, no secret is a good secret. None. Not a one. Because if you got secrets, it means you have to lie. No way around it. And you wonder why you got the secrets for, really? What's the true purpose of these secrets? You see, the people who can see Satan in everything, looking to see Satan in everything, they're awake to the deception. Because he is in everything. So the people who can't see it are walking with the world and don't want their illusion destroyed. Because they would have to change their walk. Satan for now is God of this world. He's not king. He only goes so far that God will allow him, and then he pulls him back. Satan is allowed to get so close, but then he is stopped. And like John, 1 John 2:15 says, exposing the evils of the world will make you an enemy of many professing Christians because you're treading upon that which they truly love. In 1 John 2, verse 15, King James Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because when you start learning this, you can't go back. When you start learning deception, there's no return back to where you used to be. It's not going to happen. You have to forget, ignore everything you've learned to this date. And the Holy Spirit just doesn't want to let you go. Once you got him. Once he's got you. Some people, they never wake up. Some people wake up and they have a problem with it. But once you got it, everything else is doesn't make sense. The reality of the truth makes all the sense in the world. Let's begin. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. We come together, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, lead us tonight in prayer. Lead us tonight, Lord, in this study we got tonight. And Lord, to spread the word among ourselves. Father, to give us wisdom and discernment. Yet, Lord, we can see to the scriptures. And Father, pull out the meaning as are laid before us. We pray for our veterans, children. We pray for those that's lost in this game of racism and secularism and all these isms, Lord, running around. That, Lord, you wake people up away from all these organizations and movements and patriotic senses that, Father, pull us away from you. That, Father, our loyalty lies with you and nowhere else. Father, I pray for that. Father, I don't know what other people pray for, but Father, that's what I pray for in these prayers tonight. That Father, we look forward to your return. That we all are the same. That there's no divisions upon your return. And Father, thy will be done. Father, lead us all this week in our Bible studies. And Father, exposing the wiles of the devil through the broadcast, that Lord, you give us that wisdom and discernment throughout this week. And Father, guide others in the same path to your holy word in the King James Bible. Father, things we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And lead us not into temptation. That's what Satan does. Deliver us from evil. God gives you a way to escape. He gives you a way to escape. He didn't say he'll make you escape. He'll make a way for you to escape, meaning you're the one that's got to take the cheese. Now, they have an old saying nowadays that Americans always say, early bird gets the worm. That's not always true. That principle is not always true. Early bird might get the worm. But the other side of that is the second mouse gets the cheese. Sometimes being first isn't always the best. We're taught with pride. Have pride in your what you do. Pride here, pride there, pride in this, pride in that. Pride goes before the fall. What the Illuminati, Freemasons, Jesuits, all those promulgating this New World Order, they speak with authority. Do they not? They're trained with responses already prepared in their brain or copy-pasted for email or whatever to respond back to your King James only book or certain claims you make. They have it all laid out. Holy Spirit helps you lay it out. But pride, what they don't like is someone on God's side with the same assertiveness, the same confidence in knowing the scriptures and coming back at them. They don't like that. So they start piping up on, oh, you're arrogant, you're this, that, you're that. No, I know what I'm talking about. I'm coming back at you. See, they go back and hide in the corner with their skirts up, skirts tails, whatever you want to call it. And they say, hiding in the shadows, they say, oh, you're being aggressive, you're judging me, when they do the exact same thing. Because they don't like you being courageous. They don't like you being assertive. They want you to be wishy-washy and not coming back at them. So you don't have that confidence. And they know how to take it down. They try anyway. And this is an ongoing game now that's being prevalent. And they're coming after folks that are speaking out for Jesus in the King James Bible. They've got to take it down. So you will find that a lot in YouTube and Facebook and whatever. They play salt and pepper on you also. Somebody be a friend. You know, fake IDs. All kinds of weird stuff they're doing. But them doing all these weird things, they have to know they're being deceptive, which is going to wear them down. After a while, they just get tired of putting up this facade. And the Holy Spirit starts working on them. So they got to keep fighting it, which is going to make them tired, or let go. The Holy Spirit might get the heart. He wishes that none should perish, but all have eternal life. So let's get started with the day of the Lord. And let's see if this should work here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11.
1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do.
Well, that was what I want to talk about. That's right on target. With something else going on that I've had to deal with about rapture and when it happens and all that. Nobody knows. Nobody knows at all. Have no idea. So, now what I want to do, for those who might be listening, I have a few people listening specifically. I want to talk about tomorrow a little bit of a Christian identity, who they really are, how I can tell who they are. And I want to talk this week. I can't tell you when right now. It might even be tomorrow night. I don't know. Probably Wednesday, I guess. About racism in the Bible. Discrimination, racism, and all that just nonsense. But it's happening now. Some of these events taking place, a white cop shooting black person, this white fraternity getting thrown off Oklahoma campus. All this is Oklahoma campus. All this is set up to foment racial strife. And they're going to increase it, apparently, to cause chaos, to finally bring order, but order under their conditions, which can't be good. Order is okay, but order's good, but not under their conditions. But they're really picking up the steam on the racial conflicts, which means they want to bring order, but under their direction. Nobody knows when the rapture is going to happen because nobody knows when tribulation is going to happen. They're trying to predict it. And those trying to predict it in the highest level are trying to produce it. They're trying to cause God to play his hand. But God's way ahead of them. I don't think they understand that. When God finally allows them to play it out, their destruction and doom is sure and soon. It's impossible for them to win. Not possible. So, the day of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 11, and you start with 5, 1, the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. I believe in pre-trib. You do. But you're wrong. I believe in post-trib. Oh, you do. Oh, no, both of you are wrong. It's mid-trib rapture. And this guy behind me says, oh, there's no rapture. And that's the way it works. Because nobody knows. Now, all four or five of them are liable to write a book, do DVDs, CDs, lectures, get on Sid Roth, It's Supernatural, whatever on TV, I don't know what, whatever. And none of them can ever make a case, not even one. Then one of them will make a prediction. He'll be wrong, for sure. They've been wrong since 1800s, up to date. Are they ever going to learn? Everybody's a darn expert. I just simply say, well, let's get past the rapture and tell me when the tribulation is before you decide which position you take. When's the tribulation, by the way? Silence. Because they don't know. So then if you don't know when the tribulation is, then how logically can you argue when it's post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib? What difference does it make? You're not going to prove your point in the first place. And number two, if you did, it still wouldn't matter. You know? Then goodness forbid that you make a prediction and that day goes by. Oops. Like Harold Camping. Like other religious cults. I believe that there's some people that have these dreams or visions or whatever that truly believe what they're saying is true. What they're being done, what's being done is they're being channeled by the fallen angels into hallucinations, false dreams. And these ones that say, I saw Jesus. No. That's contradictory to what Jesus said to Thomas. Blessed are those. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Thomas, you believe because you've seen, he says. You've touched my wounds, you have seen. But blessed are they that have not seen yet believe. Disciples didn't believe him till he died and came back from the dead. You are required to believe what other men have written, and by faith alone. That's hard. It's not easy in this day of secular materialism. So he gives you little clues along the way. He touches your soul with that shocking little sensation. You wonder, wow, that's him. Or you'll cry because you feel your tears will come to your face because you feel some kind of presence that you're not sure, but it's a good presence. Well, unfortunately, Satan works pretty close the same. Songwriters, actors, actresses, all of them, except for the ones that turned away, and you'll find that they don't have an international or national career. They went for a while and then ended because they did not go the full step of literally, like Denzel Washington or Clint Eastwood or John Wayne or any of the others are Freemasons. Rolling Stones singers inspired by the supernatural through their link with secret societies. They get their inspiration. Some of them even admit it. Katy Perry, many of them admit that they made a deal with the devil. Literally. They commit sodomy. They have homosexual relationships to open up that portal. Freemasons at the 33rd degree level do just that with children. It's called the Great the Royal Secret. They have what's called a trans-Eugothic experience. The Pentagon knows all about it. That's where they get the remote viewers in. They get dwell with a demonic entity. It's real. They can even synthesize demonic activity by ELF transmission and technology, by knowing the frequency of certain emotions. I will talk about that tomorrow, a little bit at the beginning, I hope, about microchips, but a little more detail about the how that works. That's what's causing the suicides, by the way, coupled with those drugs that weakens the willpower of the child or the veteran or the person on antipsychotic, psychotropic drugs that prepares the way for suicide. That's what's happening by design. The day of the Lord, as it comes, when it does, as the Bible teaches, some scholars, when they teach, will a lot of times apologize for chapter breaks, you know, in between chapters, and they will explain that the subject should continue without interruption. But here is a chapter break in 5:11 that is appropriate. See, Paul begins a new subject. He leaves his discussion of the rapture, as we were talking about last week, and returns to the day of the Lord. And the words translating, but concerning, well, that indicates a new line of thought, as so when in 1 Corinthians. You know, another example of that, very interesting example, actually, I found it to be very intriguing. In Psalms 34:21. Very interesting. When you read 34:16, listen to the rhythm. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. 34:17, and the righteous cry, and the Lord hears, delivers them out of all their troubles. 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Now 19, many are of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It's about the righteous crying, the face of the Lord against those that do evil. And then 34:20 is out of nowhere, for no apparent reason, no rhyme or reason. 34:20 says, quote, he keepeth all his bones Not one of them is broken. It's like, huh? And then 34:21, it goes back to the evil part. The evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And then it goes on in tune. The Lord, in 34:22, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. All that matches except for 34:20. Family, out of nowhere, he throws in a prophecy to Isaiah. Isaiah didn't see, if Isaiah was writing, he wouldn't put that in there. That's proof right there of a heavenly inspired scripture. See, if the author of Psalms, David, the author of Psalms was writing, it all stay, you wouldn't have, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them broken. That wouldn't even have been there. He's talking about the Messiah in the Old Testament, where they did not break the legs of Jesus, but left him. That's a New Testament prophecy stuck in Old Testament out of nowhere. Amazing. And then 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thought the wicked and evil worked together. That doesn't even make sense. Evil shall slay the wicked? So the wicked are those that work against God, and the evil works against God, and the ones that work against God are going to kill the ones that work against God. Okay. I don't get it. Because God's going to make them fight each other at Armageddon. That's another prophecy. There's two prophecies back to back. Nowhere in history have you had the evil to slay the wicked. You could say in battles and all that, but which one's evil, which one's wicked? But you will at Armageddon. See, some of these Christians out here think that in this Christian army, that we're all going to be like the Highlander. We're all going to get swords issued from heaven. Or, I don't know what, something. That the Christian nation of America or whatever is going to defeat the communists. That's all total, absolute nonsense. Because a revived Holy Roman Empire is going to rise up when Islam and Zionism, that's World War III coming, the real World War III, not the fake nonsense they got coming, but the real World War III, when they see peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. That would be the second seal. And being the Armageddon is between Jesus Christ and Satan, and Gog and Magog is hidden for 1,000 years. Well, that leaves a battle that's undefined. A sort of Gog and Magog and the second seal. What's yet to happen? World War III. Between Islam and Zionism, and as it's planned on a secular level, those two will defeat each other to total destruction. And countries on either side will also be defeated of each other. And the Roman Empire, the old Roman Empire, will rise up 10 toes, iron and clay. The wound will be healed. That will be from the Antichrist. Will rise up then. At that point, he'll declare himself to be Satan. Before the first seal, peace and safety, is the Antichrist doing good things. And that sure ain't Obama. So he's not the Antichrist. No way possible. Fake one? Sure. The Pope, a false prophet. The real false prophet is one named Sanan d'Emmanuel, or Yeshua, a fallen angel. The Antichrist will be a human person, half human, half Nephilim, of the royal bloodline, so that Satan can possess his body at mid-tribulation, before the first trumpet. He'll declare himself then to be, he'll totally take over that body, and be Satan on earth. Lucifer to be worshipped. It will not go so well. So, true believers, the rapture is a comforting hope, whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, somewhere there. Nobody knows. And the rapture is different than the abomination of desolation. When he goes to the holy place, he says, drop everything you're doing and head for the hills. He's talking about Israel. Wait a minute. You got 1 Thessalonians. You've got a gathering together and meeting the Lord in the air. But then you got the abomination of desolation there, head for the hills. So which is it? I struggled with that for a while. I said, Lord, what does that mean? I don't know. That's not what he said. It's what I said. I don't know. And one day it came to me that the rapture is for those that went in the tribulation period, stuck there, stuck in it, that were alive, not killed, maybe killed later, fifth seal, souls under the altar. Then you had the rapture, Thessalonians, where he gathers those together, those asleep in Christ will rise first, and those alive caught up. But then he says, around the abomination of desolation, that's 3.5 years in the tribulation, 7 years, 3.5 years later, when Satan, the Antichrist, takes over Jerusalem with wrath, because he knows he has a short time, head for the hills. Well, there's something else different. Those heading for the hills are those who were not taken up in the rapture, mortal, protected in the hills by God throughout the trumpets. They're protected, but they're still mortal. When the trumpets have done its business, Satan's transhumanized army has been destroyed, as evil shall slay the wicked. Jesus will come down with his saints. It's already been rewarded, the crowns. Those in the rapture are made saints, are coming back now. That's the seventh trumpet. On the return, not the rapture, on the return after the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb, then they're past the test. They wait until the last trumpet, and they return the last trumpet to begin the millennial reign. Those that were protected, that headed for the hills, will be the mortals that will reproduce to rebuild the human race that's been destroyed. The Nephilim, the Metropolitans, the Nephilim will have been destroyed. False prophet. Bodily structure of the Antichrist will be cast in the lake of fire forever. But Satan will be chained for 1,000 years. What the Bible says. Because those that come back from the hills that are mortal will reproduce. Will reproduce. Will not have the influence of Satan for 1,000 years. And the saints will rule with Jesus Christ in different nations throughout the world to rebuild the human race. There'll be sin, but be individual. A restructure, a re-education will take place that will last a millennial. That means they've not been tried now, have they? That's why Satan is chained only. He'll be released at the end of the 1,000 years. Revelation talks about this. So that those that never had influence from Satan will make their choice. Because the saints have already done that. So those of the 1,000 years, the new kingdom, the new mortals will now be able to make their choice. Like you did. And apparently, according to scripture and prophecy, some make the wrong choice. That is Armageddon. And here comes Jesus and Satan's transhuman. I'm sorry, whoa. And then, whoops, at the end of 1,000 years, Satan and his army then, called Gog and Magog, will go to battle against God, and it will not last long. They will be destroyed. Satan is then cast in the lake of fire with all those that followed him. A new heaven, a new earth will be created, and then will be all eternity in spiritual bodies and worship God forever from then on. That's in the scriptures. It's in the book of Revelation. Now, that's off the top of my head. I don't have the scriptures memorized that I could give you right now because it's already, 8:41. But that's a general overview of what is going to happen. Now, back to the scriptures 1-11. For true believers, this rapture is the hope. Comes before the 1,000 years tribulation, 1,000 years millennial, and before the trumpet of God, because as you heard, you're not appointed to wrath. So those that's born again Christians, those protected, will not have to go through the seven trumpets. For those that the church of Christ to have to go through the seven trumpets means that God will be putting judgment upon himself. The beginning of a period referred to as the times and the seasons. And that period is primarily Jewish in character. And during this time, God will resume his dealings with the nation of Israel. And the end time events, which Old Testament prophets have pointed out, will occur. It will be complete fulfillment of Scripture. And you know, the apostles, like everybody else today, except they could talk to Jesus directly, they ask him, when would he set up his kingdom? And what did he say back to them? He said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. Acts 1, verse 7. It seems that the times and the seasons, they cover the period prior to setting up the kingdom as well as the kingdom period itself. So, Paul, being inspired by God, he didn't have any need to write to the Thessalonians about the times and the seasons. Well, for one thing is that they wouldn't be taken to heaven before the epochs begin. And also the times and the seasons and the day of the Lord are subjects that's found in the Old Testament even. So the rapture is kind of a mystery. That's spoken about in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51. And it's never revealed until the time of the apostles. Now the saints, they already know about the day of the Lord. They knew that the exact time is, of course, unknown. So we ask ourselves, what does he mean by the day of the Lord? Now the last trump of God is not one of the seven trumpets. Seven trumpets are blown by the angels, seven angels. But the trump of God is God's trump, and the last one is the rapture, but not the seventh trumpet of the angels, you see. It's different. Trump of God is different than the trumpets of the 7 years, the ones blown by the angels of judgment. It's different. And it's not a day of 24 hours, but a period of time with certain, characteristics of sort. So the term, when used in the Old Testament, describes any time of judgment or, what's the word we're going through with Psalms? Desolation, maybe? Darkness? I got loads of scripture here for you. Isaiah 2 verses 12, for example. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that's proud and lofty. Everyone that is lifted up that shall be brought low. God wants you humble, but stern. Calm in the time of troubles, that's meekness. And it's opposite, isn't it? Isaiah 13, 9 to 16. Or even we can go with Joel 2:1. It's easy. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. That means it's not going to be a picnic. You know, in Joel 2, talks about it as well. A lot of it. It's a time when God marched forth against the enemies of Israel and punished them decisively. Now, you find it in a lot of scriptures. Zephaniah 3, verses 8 to 12, if you're copying it down. And Joel 3, 14 to 16. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall roar out of Zion, utter his voice to the kingdom. The heavens and earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of children of Israel. Now, I say, and I slap my head, golly Shazam, where have I heard that before? Well, I can tell you where I heard it before. I look at my matrix. I always do a matrix of study. This big old flip chart. That's how I look at things. I make matrices and diagrams. And now, where have I seen that before? Sun and moon shall be darkened. Stars shall withdraw their shining. The multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is in the valley of decision. That sounds like Armageddon. A lot like Armageddon. Massive moving earth crusts. Euphrates is dried up. Demonically inspired men, not Russia, not China, for their own destruction, Armageddon. Darkness over the kingdom of the Antichrist in the fifth bowl. Sixth bowl, that's when the Euphrates is dried up. And the seventh bowl is massive moving in the earth crust. 100-pound hailstones is the seventh bowl of the seventh trumpet. I always thought that 100-pound hailstones coming from heavens, that's a bit overdoing it, isn't it? But no, because it's not going to be humans. It's going to be giants, the Nephilim, are coming out of their holes in the ground. Remember, all humans are going to be wasted out on this one. And another time, is around the fifth seal and sixth seal. A great earthquake. Stars will fall. Sun is black as sackcloth. And the moon as blood. So we're talking the period of the trumpets. Day of the Lord is the wrath of God. Now, Obadiah, both chapter 15 to 17, the whole thing. Zechariah 12, 8 to 9. Obadiah 15 and 16 and 17. three chapters. And Zechariah 12, verses 8 and 9. There's also any occasion which God punished his own people for their idolatry and backsliding. And that is also quite extensive. It's Joel 1, 15 to verse 20. And Amos 5, verses 18. And Zephaniah, Zeph, chapter 1, verses 7 to 18. 11 verses. So it kind of speaks of judgment on sin, of victory for the cause of the Lord. The cause of the Lord is Joel 2, verses 31 to 32. And at this one, the untold blessings are for his faithful people. So, in the future, the day of the Lord will cover about the same period as the times and the season. And it'll begin after the rapture. Now, that's interesting. That just about puts it mid-wrath. But nobody knows the day of the time of the hour. See, the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture that you can look it up yourself. Daniel 9:27. And Jeremiah 30, verse 7. We've talked about it before. Matthew 24, verses 4 to 28. And look up 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. And Revelation 6. Verse 1, all the way to 19, verse 16, and everything in between. So begin after the rapture, and we'll include also the coming of Christ with his saints. Malachi 4, verses 1 and 3. And 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 to 9. And then the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. It encompasses all that. Joel 3, verse 18. Zechariah 14, verse 8 and 9. And you know, lastly, the final destruction of the heavens and the earth by fire into the thousand years. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. So, this period of time called the Day of the Lord, it's a time when Jehovah, not Yahweh, but Jehovah, he'll intervene in human affairs. Up to this point, he hasn't been influencing individuals, stopping things. But this way, he's going to directly intervene, publicly intervene. Judgment on the enemies of Israel. And you'll know it's not going to be HAARP. No question about it. Because HAARP will be destroyed. No longer Satan's wrath, but God's wrath. And on the apostate portion of the nation of Israel. And by deliverance of his people, establishment of Christ's kingdom of peace and prosperity, the real prosperity and glory for himself in Jerusalem, to rule over the earth. And this apostle, Paul, reminds us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, as you know not which hour he may come. It'll be completely unexpected, taking men off guard. And the world will not be unprepared. It will be unprepared for what's going to happen. So that means it's got to be a time of either war against each other, or a period of peace and prosperity, a fake one. We're not paying any attention. And in conclusion, just for tonight, notice that the change in pronouns from they and them in the other verses to you and we in the following verses of verse 5 and 4, 5, 4, and 5, 5. The day of the Lord will be a time of wrath for the unsaved world. But what's going to mean for us when you're born again? Well, the answer is that we're not in danger because you're not in darkness. Even death is a removal from the judgment that's coming. So the day will come as a thief in the night. And the only way it's going to overtake anyone is a thief. And the only persons they'll overtake will be those who are in the night, not aware, not paying attention. The unconverted. It's not going to overtake believers of all, because you're not in the darkness. Sometimes theologians argue that this also means that it'll overtake believers, but not as a thief. But that's not true. It will not overtake them at all, because when the thief comes to the house, the world's night, the saints will be dwelling to eternal light. Because you're not in the dark. That's why in Freemasonry, when they have that blindfold, and they blindfold them too when they What's that stupid thing? Shaking the goat or riding the goat? Low down buck or some crazy mess? They blindfold them then. I forgot which it's a royal art degree or something crazy mess. It's just a weird device. It's like a riding bronco, but you're riding a goat simulation. It's crazy. Anyway, go riding the goat, I think they call it, and low down buck. Oh, my goodness. As demonic as it can be. Don't be unprepared. When they say, what do you seek? I seek light. Another degree, I seek more light. And another degree, they even say, even seek more and more light or something like that. I seek the light. Well, they've already got the light. The light they're seeking is Lucifer light in the Freemasons. A lot of them don't realize that. That's why they say Lucifer is the real God and Satan and Jesus is the evil God. Oh, they got them all kinds of mixed up. Well, family, we're already there. I'll continue on tomorrow. And we'll talk about the day of the Lord continuous and the tribulations. Because they're right upon us. Something's coming. Now, it could go if people prayed for some reason, if they weren't there yet with the children prepared to, you know, in the Humanist Manifesto, that they may have to delay it 100 years, 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20, 25. Give me 5, give me 25, give me 25, 5. You got it? They have to delay it. They've delayed it all this time. They may have to again. We see it coming close, coming close, coming close, and God say, nah, you're not going to do it. We got to start all over again. They got to placate the public again for another couple of generations. In the meantime, when you die, you go to heaven. So what's the problem? Live your life, but not in fear. This generation would pass. They would not see the times. All these times must, all these events must take place, and that's the generation that will begin Daniel's 70th week of 7 years tribulation. It is coming, because now you can see, let's say for example, it's not this generation, how they're chipping away at the sovereignty, at the schools of the individual, the child, children, the Z generation. Humanist attitudes, in other words, abortion's okay, child euthanasia, well, you know, it's not a problem, do as I wilt. As soon as they get that generation, whichever it may be, that's when they'll launch it. So we could go another 20 years. Or, well, a major world event. And that would do it. at some point, America might be the first to go down. And you know why? I'll tell you why. And they know why. That's why they're trying to get homosexual marriage approved throughout the United States. Abortion, child euthanasia. If they get all that passed, at some point, God's going to say, America, bye-bye. And that would start it. So they're trying to rush it by changing the laws of the land to get away from the Bible, causing God to pull away, and they know that would give them latitude. That's why it's all happening now. Yeah, people only knew what's really in the background. Well, family, I remind you, my broadcasts and Bible studies are played up at highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highpointradio.net. He's got sponsors up there. New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, sorry. And you can check his website. Oops. You can check his website. And he's got the sponsors there. You can use them if you're in Indiana, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, and see if you can use any of them if you're in that general area. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And that concludes it for tonight. I actually gave you an overview of what's yet to come, based on the scripture, not me. I just have all these diagrams and matrices and all this stuff I use to keep me straight. I'm one of those that got to see it. Closing prayer, family, and then let's let you all read your notes and get a good night's sleep. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together, and Father, in this network that you've given us. Father, we didn't have before, but now we've had in the past 3-4 years, and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we can have our Bible study on the air and make copies of it, Lord, and send it out. And Lord, you give us that opportunity to work in quiet, subtle ways, but straight out. Father, we pray for our veterans and our children that are profiled and targeted for these drugs, suicide. That, Lord, you'll set divine appointments to lead them in the path. We know you're fair. And, Lord, you give those you know the opportunity to accept Jesus. Father, we pray for enemies, too. That, Lord, you break through that barrier with divine appointments, wisdom discerning, and occasion to save those on the other side. And to use them as instruments to bring others into Jesus. Father, to wake up these churches. Give the parishioners, the members, the courage to step out and say, and demand the true Bible be used. Demand they preach the right subjects and demand that altar calls are made. Demand to get out of these 501c3 control of the government churches and not be controlled any longer. And the schools, Lord, to be exposed for the humanist agenda they preach. But Father, we know that day is coming, the day of the Lord, that we'll be prepared whenever it may happen. But in the meantime, Lord, we fight, we stand, and witness until the day comes. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, thank you all for coming. And I'm going to end it in an unusual way, not the usual way. We'll try a new one out tonight. And thank you all for coming tonight. See you all tomorrow, 4 to 6. Hit the ground running. I want to cover this week about racism in the Bible and the Christian identity and several other issues I'm going to talk about coming up. So y'all have a good night, and we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Sleep well. It's Tom Gamble. Signing off.